now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How you feeling out there this week? Everything going well with you? Everything's going pretty damn well with me also. Yeah, man, this week on the conversation, I want to keep it simple. I want to keep it quick. I want to keep it simple. And what I really want to do is talk about the draft that's coming up. The NFL draft is coming up on Thursday. And there's a lot of stuff going on. It's a lot of interesting teams. It's a lot of interesting players I want to take note of. And I want to just kind of highlight some of the things that I'm going to be keeping my eye on as the draft takes place on Thursday and throughout the rest of the weekend. Try saying that one. But yes, I want to talk about the NFL draft. I also want to talk about what I'm finding interesting in terms of the NBA playoffs. There's a lot of matchups that may or may not happen that I want to keep an eye on. But there are more players that I want to talk about because some guys need to step up for their legacy and step up for their rep. Some coaches need to step up. And we're going to sit here and we'll go back and forth with it. And like I said, as always, I'm more than interested in hearing from you. So if I talk about a team, if I talk about a player and you agree or you disagree, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. That's at G Robinson Sports, or on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon.
Commissioner Gordon.
This week's episode of the Commissioner's Conversation is brought to you by Greenwood Whiskey. Greenwood Whiskey is celebration whiskey, and we encourage you to go out this summer, have fun, enjoy yourself, have a drink with some friends. Do it with Greenwood Whiskey. It's celebration whiskey. Greenwood Whiskey is more than just a drink. It's a movement. Be a part of the movement with Greenwood Whiskey. All right. Like I said before, I want to jump right into some of this NFL draft talk. But right before we jump into the draft, what I do want to talk about is something that I told y'all a little while ago. So, Reese Boogie, hit that intro to I Told Y'all, and my bad, it's time for...
Yeah, all right. You was right, I was wrong.
Told y'all, y'all better believe it.
All right, we talked a while back about the Atlanta Falcons, and I told you guys that if I were the GM of the Falcons, what I would do is I would look to trade Julio Jones. And the reason why I say this is because Julio has value to a lot of other teams out there. I mean, let's face it. He's Julio Jones. He's better than 98% of the receiver pool that's out there. And he still has a lot of tread on the tire. But for me, I would be looking around trying to get rid of him because the Falcons need to get picks. The Falcons need to get players on defense. And the best commodity that they have as of this moment is Julio Jones. He's still a gifted receiver at 32 years old. And a lot of teams that are looking to win now, they'll probably be willing to trade assets and draft picks to try to acquire his services. The only hang-up in terms of the Atlanta Falcons getting rid of him ASAP would be the salary cap hit. Like, the Falcons can't really make a trade official until after June 1st because of the dead cap situation. But what they can do is they can agree in principle with the team and they can say, oh, we'll give you Julio and you give us a first-round draft pick, second-round draft pick, whatever, or said player on defense. And it just wouldn't be, quote-unquote, legit until June 2nd. So this thing happened, man. And for all you guys who have gone out and who's sitting here who talking about, like, oh, why you want to get rid of Julio? Simple as this. We can't, as in the Atlanta Falcon fan, we cannot be in the boat of trying to make the playoffs and trying to rebuild. It won't work. It doesn't work for anyone. If you're trying to make a playoff, that means you think you're a contender. So that means you should be making moves to win today. Everything that your front office should be doing should be to win today, because you think you're a contender for a Super Bowl. And if you're trying to rebuild, then you should be rebuilding for the future. You should be trying to get young players. You should be trying to get them to gel together and to raise them together and structure the salary cap as such, so that you don't have a gang of players that are going to come under contract all at the same time. Because let's be honest out here, and I received some flack from a bunch of people that I talked to who were like, damn, you're kind of hard on the Falcons, because I said the Falcons needed to trade back from the number 4 pick and try to pick up some extra players, some extra picks. And a lot of people said, well, damn, if you're doing that, you know, whatever, you need to be trying to build toward the future. Okay, well, if we're building toward the future, then guess what? We're not a playoff team. If you're building toward the future, because if you're a playoff team, you're looking for today. If you're a playoff team, you'll go out there and you'll draft the best player that's available on the board at number 4 and allow him to make the impact to put you over the hump to be where you are. But I'll tell you this right now, and I say this as a fan, the Atlanta Falcons aren't going in 17 games next season. They won't be 11-6. Right? And it's going to take a record like that to be a playoff contender. Are you better than Tampa Bay? No. Are you better than New Orleans? Are you better than Carolina? More or less, you're probably right in the middle. You probably are equal or less than New Orleans, and you're probably equal or better than Carolina. So with that, you're going to be fighting for a wild card slot. And with all the holes that we have on defense, it's going to be a hell of a fight. But for all those people who had been screaming like, pay Julio, every time Julio raised his hand and was angry and felt like he wanted some more money because this dude got paid and that dude got paid, and he felt like he was better than them, and we just went on ahead and we appeased him like some dummies instead of letting him play out his contract. Now we're in salary cap hell. Now it's to the point where Julio, salary cap wise, we take a hit of $23 million this year. 7 of that is dead cap. That's why you go after June 1st. And every season after that, you take a salary cap hit of about $19 to $20 million for the next 2 seasons. How many teams want to hold on to a wide receiver that's making $20 million a season? But everybody kept saying, oh, pay Julio, he the best player we got. We'd be a damn fool not to pay Julio. We were some damn fools because we paid Julio. And now we have to listen to all calls that are being taken in terms of people inquiring about Julio Jones. And people have always asked, well, how would that make Julio feel? I don't care. Julio is old enough at 32 years old. He understands that this is a business. And he understands that because every time someone else got paid, whether it was Antonio Brown, whether it was Mike Evans or any other receiver that got paid, he came to the Atlanta Falcons and he demanded more money because he thought he was better than them. So he knows that it's a business. And because he knows that it's a business, he'll understand why we're taking calls from Baltimore, why we're taking calls from Indianapolis and other teams who are interested in his services. So I don't care how it makes him feel. And I know for everyone that looks at the stat line, everybody looks at the stat line and looks and says, oh man, Julio's been an Iron Man. He plays more games. No. Julio has consistently been hurt for the past 3 seasons. Now, only if you look at the stats, as I said before, if you look at the stats, it will only tell you that he missed significant time last year. But if you watch the games, what you notice is Julio will make a big play and he won't get back in the game the rest of the damn drive because he's on the sideline hurt, nursing his ankle, nursing his hamstring, his back, whatever it is. So he'll make a big play. For every big play that he's in, He sits out seven. And I can't use that. I can't do that. Yes, I love to have you. I love you are, and if Julio is listening, you're the best receiver in football. But if you're sitting on the sideline, I can't do nothing with you. I cannot. So like I said, they're listening to teams who believe that Julio was going to help them immediately. And I told y'all, because it's now being reported, but I told you guys weeks and weeks and weeks ago, probably months and months and months ago, as the season was wrapping up, I told you what we would do as the Atlanta Falcons. And here we are at this very moment. But there are about six teams that are probably on the line asking for number 11 and what he, you know, how to get them on their team, according to Nate Davis of USA Today. One of those teams is the Baltimore Ravens. It's a good fit. You put Julio with Lamar Jackson. You give Lamar Jackson a big target. I think they can make some magic happen over there. The Indianapolis Colts. You just got Carson Wentz. You pair Julio up with T.Y. Hilton, and that's a dangerous squad in the AFC South. You got the New England Patriots. When I saw this on the list, I thought to myself, I don't really know about this, because Bill Belichick has been very adamant that he doesn't believe that a wide receiver is going to be the piece that makes you win the Super Bowl. And especially as a high-valued, high-priced, you know, wide receiver such as Julio Jones. I mean, I don't know what his feelings have been since they've had Randy Moss, but they, since Randy Moss, and even before Randy Moss, they didn't have a lot of receivers that you could say, oh, that dude is one of the top three in the league. So I don't know about the New England Patriots. Like, it would be interesting to see if he did go after Julio for whatever reason, especially considering the fact that when Thomas Dimitroff wanted to jump up to get Julio and basically mortgaged everything with Cleveland, Belichick was one of the guys who basically told him not to do it, that he'd be a fool to do it. I don't remember the exact words, but I think it came out in somebody's book that basically Belichick said, don't do that. It's a dumbass move. But, I mean, for the Falcons, it proved to be a pretty good move, because Julio was a part of the team that got them to the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. There was a part of the team that got them up in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots and inevitably lost to in the Super Bowl to the New England Patriots. But I don't see Bill Belichick making that move to grab Julio Jones. The Jacksonville Jaguars are another team that have been rumored to be looking and interested in Julio. I can't see anything wrong with that, considering the fact Jacksonville has a gang of picks. If I'm a Falcon GM, that I would love to take part, be a part of, you know what I'm saying? I would love to take off their hands in exchange for Julio Jones. And you could basically pair Julio up with this rookie, the rookie QB, Trevor Lawrence. Give him a security blanket, so to speak. Give him somebody who he can go out there and he can depend on, that if I put the ball in the place where I know it's supposed to be, I know this guy is going to catch it. Because Julio Jones, while occasionally he'll give you a drop, 8 times out of 10, man, he's coming down with that football. And that's a confidence builder for a young quarterback. So I could see that also. The New York Jets have inquired about Julio, and they also have a bunch of draft picks that they could exchange for Julio Jones. And I think it would be, just like I talked about with Trevor Lawrence, I think it would be a pretty decent pairing with him and Zach Wilson. If they go out and they get Zach Wilson at that number two spot, again, you get that security blanket that is Julio Jones. Julio could make a very big name for himself in New York. You know, he could possibly, like, Julio is a very quiet guy here around Atlanta, but I think if he's in that New York spotlight, and even though it's the Jets and not the Giants, but if he's in that New York spotlight, he could make some extra bread in terms of some endorsements, because he would be seen, hell, in the top market in the country. So I think that would probably be a good place also. San Francisco is on the board, and you put, man, you talk about putting Julio Jones with George Kittle. He already knows Shanahan's offense. And personally, I told y'all, when I told y'all I would send Julio packing, I told y'all I would not put him in a position like this. I would not put him in a position where he knows the offense, where you could pair him up to George Kittle, where you could possibly be bringing in a superstar QB or a young quarterback that Shanahan feels like is going to fit his system best. I would not put him, and I probably, if I honestly believe that I have a shot in hell as to making the playoffs, I don't want to play San Francisco with Julio on the other side. Now, matching up wise for Julio, it's a great idea. Matching up wise for the 49ers, it's a great idea. But if I'm Atlanta and I honestly think that for whatever reason I can make the playoffs, let's say that we can beat New Orleans twice. Let's say we can beat Carolina twice. Let's say we can split with Tampa Bay. Hey, don't look at me crazy. Shit happens sometimes. But let's say we can do that. The last thing I want to do is run into the San Francisco 49ers with the Julio Jones with a vendetta against you. So I wouldn't do it, but there are those six teams that appear to have the interest. I don't know if they've made the official call. I don't know. But those are some teams that maybe should be, could be interested in one Julio Jones. But my question has always been, for Atlanta, what do you get in return? What are you getting back in terms of Julio Jones? And the next question is pretty much, are you trying to do right by Julio? Because that's what I was asking in terms of the San Francisco deal. You send Julio to San Francisco if you're doing right by Julio. You send Julio to Baltimore if you're doing right by Julio. You send Julio to the Colts if you're doing right by Julio. Or do you do the deal that's right for Atlanta? The deal that we get the most in return. Do you do that deal? And those deals probably are the deals that are going to be done with the Jets. Those deals are the deals that are probably going to be done with the Jaguars. You see what I'm saying? So those are a couple questions. Kind of keep your eye on. Kind of just watch. Keep your ear to the street. See what happens. And like I said, man, I told y'all before. Told you what happened. I told you I would do it. But you know what? I told you.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yo. I need you to stop what you're doing. Go check out my good people at 323 Custom Apparel. They're creating new things every day. Every day. You think of it, you imagine it, they can do it. They can put it on a shirt, they can put it on a hat, they can put on some shoes, shorts, whatever. It's about to be cookout time. And you got the fresh new shoes on? Guess what? You need a shirt to match. And you don't just want a regular old plain shirt. You need a shirt that stands out and allows you to be you. Well, go to Instagram. Go at 323_custom_apparel. Check out what they got. Check out. And if you don't see anything that suits you, send them a message. Tell them what you're thinking about. They'll get back to you immediately and show you what they have. So go out. Check out my people at 323 Custom Apparel. That's at 323_custom_apparel. Make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, continuing to watch for the draft. Like I said, the draft is on Thursday. It's going to go on all weekend long. And I think there's some interesting things to take to take notice of as we sit down and we watch the draft and we assume that we know everything. But I'm here to tell you that a lot of this stuff is bluffing. And a lot of these reports you're hearing is bullshit. A lot of the reports that people telling you they got the inside scoop, they don't know. A lot of these insiders don't know any more than you do. A lot of these insiders are being used by teams to prop out messages to try to make somebody else jump. So while you hear this guy, that guy, your favorite reporter, and they're telling you all the things that they know and they're supposed to be an expert, they're really not experts. They're really guys who are fishing for information just like you are, just like I am. So don't buy into a lot of hype and thinking that this person knows. He might be right on a couple of things and he might be wrong on a couple of things, but just know that there is no total insider in this business. But with that being said, I direct my attention to the San Francisco 49ers, and I don't know if I fully buy into this whole Mac Jones is our guy hype. I told you guys that before. And now guess what happened? They came back out and they were saying, oh, well, we kind of like Trey Lance too. Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you like Justin Fields. You just aren't saying it. And honestly, it would not surprise me at all if they've thrown all this stuff around just to say, oh, with the number 3 pick, the San Francisco 49ers select Justin Fields. And everybody's looking at their sheet of paper like, oh, but I thought they were taking Trey Lance. Oh, I thought they were taking Mac Jones. You don't know. You know what they want you to know. The Denver Broncos is also another interesting team because personally, once again, I believe that Denver would love to have a quarterback. And with that in mind, I want to see if they stay put and see what falls to them. Because there are rumors of if San Francisco taking Mac Jones and if Atlanta takes Kyle Pitts, then that, you know, Trey and Justin Fields are going to slide and slide and slide, and it may just slide down to the Denver Broncos. Are they going to wait and hope for that? Or are they going to make a move with Atlanta or with another team, Cincinnati, whoever, and try to go after the QB that they want? It'll be interesting to see. I want to keep my eye on them. The Dallas Cowboys is the next team that I'm going to keep my eye on, and you have to keep your eye on Dallas because you never know what in the hell Jerry Jones is going to want to do. Now, if you're looking around, you know that Dallas, they need help on defense. I mean, they're going to need all the help they can get on defense with Dan Quinn back there. But hey, I'm a bitter Falcon fan. Don't let my negativity influence you. But I keep hearing that Jerry Jones seems to like Kyle Pitts. And like I said, we know all the holes that they have defensively. And they could possibly use a little O-line help. A little. But we all know Jerry. Like I said, Jerry likes to make a splash. And I have been hearing that he likes Kyle Pitts. That could be the splash that he's looking to make. Another team that I find interesting is the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins is a team that's interesting to me because they have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. I'll say it again for you. They have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. And on top of that, they have the number 6 pick and the number 18 pick in the first round. So they're starting to build a contender. And with a number 6 pick and a number 18 pick, you can get 2 bona fide players that can come in, you can plug in, and they can come and ball for you today. Not any of these potential guys, any of these project guys, no, at 6 and 18, you can get some guys who are going to come in and make a damn difference immediately. So let's see how the Miami Dolphins draft when, like I said, they have five picks in the first three rounds. And keeping in that, you know, in, with that in mind, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I told you, we talked about it already. Jacksonville has the number one pick, and they're going to go for Trevor Lawrence. They've made it no secret. But with that, Jacksonville also has another pick in the first round. They have number 25 pick. They also have two picks in the second round. They have number 33 and number 45. Let's keep an eye on how Urban Meyer is going to build his team because, you know, it's going to be a young team. They got a young quarterback, and you're looking at four picks in the top 45. So, once again, with that, with four picks in the top 45, you should be looking to add at least three starters. Probably four, depending on who you ask. But you should be at least three starters in this year's draft, whether it's offense or defense. So keep an eye on Jacksonville. That's why I said they are an interesting team. Let's see how this thing goes. This is where a lot of these coaches, a lot of these GMs are going to prove themselves. So switching it over from teams to watch to players to watch. We talked about him before. I want to see what happens with Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is probably one of the best, if not the best player in this year's draft. But where does he go? Does he go to Atlanta? Does he go to Cincinnati? Does he go to Dallas? Where does he go? It's going to be interesting to keep an eye on who moves around, who stays around, who picks up Kyle Pitts, because that's going to tell you a lot about that team, and it's going to tell you a lot about what they initially think about where he could be in terms of being a tight end and a wide receiver. I'm also interested to see where Alabama running back Najee Harris goes. And not just Najee Harris, because I'm also interested in Trey Sermon and Travis Etienne, because I want to see where these guys start to fall, because we've heard a lot about quarterbacks. We hear a lot about offensive linemen. We hear a lot about defensive ends. We rarely hear about the running backs. There's a whole laundry list of wide receivers that are off the charts and that are going to go early first round. But these receivers, I want to see where they land. And when the first one is picked, keep an eye on when the first one is picked. See if the rest of the team start to make a run on running backs. So whether it's Najee Harris going first, which I personally believe he's the best of the bunch, but if he gets picked first, or Trey Sermon gets picked first, or whoever gets picked first, see if there's a run on running backs, and just keep your eye on it. But it's going to be interesting to see where all of these guys land and what type of systems that they land in. Justin Fields is going to be interesting to see where Justin actually goes. At this point, I'm tired of the hype. I say this on Tuesday evening, with the draft being Thursday evening, but I'm tired of hearing all the speculation. I'm tired of all the rumors. I'm so rumored out that I don't know what to do except shut down my computer, shut down my television, shut down the radio. But I want to see where he actually winds up going, because like I told you earlier, he could go number three to the 49ers. We don't know. He could go number four to Atlanta. We don't know. And if neither one of those happens, I've been saying that the man could slide all the way down to 15 to New England, or even further to 19 to Washington. We don't know. Outside of Fields, I want us to keep an eye on the other QBs, because we all know about the first wave of QBs. We all know about Lawrence and Fields and Jones and Wilson and Lance. We know about those guys, and we know what they're going to do, or kind of have an idea of what they're going to do in terms of being slotted and where they'll go because of who needs a quarterback. But what I want to see is that second wave of guys. I want to see who picks up a guy like Kyle Trask out of Florida. I want to see who picks up a guy like Kellen Mond from Texas A&M. I want to see who picks up Ian Book, Notre Dame, Jamie Newman, who opted out from UGA, Felipe Franks from Arkansas. Where they land is probably going to be just as important as that first wave. So that's why I'm saying it's going to be interesting to see, because a lot of these teams that we have slated and we say, oh, we just know they're going to pick up a quarterback. Well, maybe not. Maybe they have their eye on something else and they know they can reach back and get one of these guys and he's going to be just as important as if he would have picked them up in the top 10. So keep your eye out on the QBs. Keep your eye out on the running backs. And keep your eye out on the teams that we talked about earlier, because this draft, I mean, like any other draft, it shapes the future of your franchise.
Commissioner Gordon.
Now, let's move on over. Guess what? It's time for the NBA playoffs. And it got me to thinking, man. Like, I wanted to sit here and I wanted to talk about matchups, and I wanted to talk about this player versus that player, and that is exciting to me, because that's must-see TV to me. I would love to see Chris Paul go up against Dame Lillard. I love those type of matchups, but I can't really speculate on those type of matchups because it ain't over yet, and a lot of these teams are currently one game outside of the other. So I might be in fifth place or sixth place, but I'm only one game behind whoever is in front of me. So I can't just speculate and say, oh, they're going to be the number five seed, because, like I said, you win two games and they lose a game or two, we could flip-flop. So without even doing that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about some of the teams, some of the players, and the expectations that we should have going into the NBA playoffs for them and the franchise. So, in the East, I mean, we can look at Brooklyn. And I believe that Brooklyn, personally, I believe that Brooklyn can, they can come out of the East with two out of the three stars based off what we've seen. Like, it'll be a lot harder, but if you have Kevin Durant and you have Kyrie Irving, you're still probably the number one team in the East, considering the fact that you still have DeAndre Jordan, you still have Blake Griffin, you got Jeff Green, who's starting to fill out a role on the team. You still have those guys, and when you get Harden back, then it's a bonus. It's icing on the cake. But I'll ask this question. What's the expectation for Brooklyn? Is it to win? Is that the expectation for Brooklyn? Or are we just content with going to the finals? Because me personally, I think if they don't win this season, they don't win it all this season, then it'll never work, because the money is going to start to come into play. And even if you can keep KD and Kyrie and Harden all together, your supporting cast won't be the same. Blake Griffin ain't going to be this cheap ever again. DeAndre Jordan, he may or may not be. But I don't believe you're going to keep this team together as constructed for more than one, maybe two seasons. Looking ahead on down the list to Philadelphia. Philadelphia, man, this season is I won't say it's a must win, but this season is a season for Joel Embiid to kind of separate himself and show that he's the man on the team. He's having an MVP type season, but this is the season where he needs to say, this is my squad. No more of that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons trash. This is the Joel Embiid's squad. And for him to say that, he's going to not only have to look like the MVP that he's been looking like in terms of the regular season, he's going to have to look like that MVP in the postseason. And the expectations for Philly is going to have to be at least, at a minimum, to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. If I'm Philly, I feel like we could probably beat Brooklyn, but if I'm everyone outside of Philadelphia, I don't believe they got a shot. But if I'm feeling, then I would be confident as long as we have our guys and everybody's healthy that we can give Brooklyn a hell of a run and possibly beat them in a 7-game series. But I also ask the question, is Doc Rivers going to be the difference maker? Has he been the difference maker? Is he going to be the one to get them over the hump? We'll see. Milwaukee. Yeah, the Bucks. Look, man, Giannis Antetokounmpo has 2 MVPs, and no one seems to really give a damn. And the reason why nobody really gives a damn is because they really don't do anything in the postseason. Coach Bud, in my opinion, is a regular season coach. He is a phenomenal coach, and he keeps you motivated throughout the regular season. He does great well in matchups and schemes against short, you know, short-rested teams where we only have about a day or two to prepare for you. He does well in those type of situations. But when we are in a 7-game series and we see each other night after night after night and it's all about a game of adjustments, he doesn't seem to fare so well. Chris Middleton is another player that's on that squad that shows up sparingly. He shows up. He usually has a one big game every playoff series. Well, one game where he comes out and he has like 35 or something like that, and everybody was like, "Oh, damn, he's a hooper." And then the next game or next couple games, he averages like 16. So it's going to be interesting to see. Keep an eye out to see if Giannis Antetokounmpo can put this team on his back, because if he is going to, he's going to have to do it shooting from the outside. I don't believe he can do that consistently, because a lot of these teams are going to put up a gate around that paint. It's already happening in the regular season. Whenever he touches the ball, you see 3 people in front of him so that he can't let, and they stand in front of like the free throw line so he can't just penetrate and do that little spin move and dunk. So he's going to see that more. So what he's going to have to wind up doing is putting up a shot 18 feet and beyond and make it consistently if the Bucks are going to be anything. Atlanta. I mean, here we are. Trae Young has been arguing that he is as good or better than Luka Doncic. If you want to prove that Trae was the right pick starting the playoffs, here we go. I mean, you can put up all the pretty 35-foot shots that you want to, stepping on the logo and putting up shots, but what you need to do is win a playoff series. Like the Atlanta Hawks, yes, they're injured right now. I know they have a lot of guys out, Herter's out, Hunter's out. Trae is out as of right now. I mean, I'm assuming that probably Herter will be back in terms of the playoffs. Trae will be back in the playoffs. Reddish, Hunter, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But even with that, they still have enough firepower with Lou Williams and Capella and Solomon Hill and these other guys. They still have enough firepower that I believe they probably should still win the first round matchup. And I think that's the bar right now. Can you get past the first round for the Atlanta Hawks? The Boston Celtics. I keep saying this about the Celtics, man, but I mean, I'll say it until I put it on. I told y'all in my bed, or like I said, yeah, or I put on. I told y'all my bed. They'll make me say one or the other. They'll make me say I told y'all, or they'll make me say my bed. I believe that the Boston Celtics has the talent. They have the talent to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I believe their head coach is overrated and he holds them back. I have not seen or heard a situation where you said that damn Brad Stevens came out of that timeout and bruh, he drew that play up. He put them in position. Did you see that, how he drew that up for Jaylen Brown? You see how he had Jason Tatum come off that pick? I have not seen it. I have not heard it. And if he wants to prove me wrong, start in the playoffs this year. I think he's an overrated coach. And for him being overrated, the team always appears overrated. Oh, yeah, the Washington Wizards. Listen, I know the Washington Wizards are sitting at like the 10th spot right now, I believe. But if the Wizards happen to get into the play-in tournament, these boys are going to be trouble. And the only reason why, I don't expect them to jump out and upset anybody, but when you have Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, they're gelling right now, and they're vibing off of each other. And I want to see what kind of trouble that these two guys can create, because if you come in and you're telling me that an injured Brooklyn is hobbling in and the Wizards have an 8th seed, well, let me tell you this. You think Russell Westbrook is going to come out and just say, oh, we're supposed to lay down against Brooklyn? No, sir. Russ is going to come out, and he's going to be gunning, and he's going to bring Bradley Beal with him, and they're going to try to upset the Brooklyn Nets because of his guys, or who he thought was his guys. He just left James Harden in Houston. KD ain't had shit good to say about him since they dipped from OKC. So, I know that he's taking a lot of this stuff personally, and he's going to show it when it gets down to crunch time, when it gets to playoff time. He's going to make this personal, and that's going to make for a hell of a series.
Commissioner Gordon.
Going out west, we can't start anywhere but with the Lakers. And personally, the best outcome for the Lakers right now would be for them to hold their position, get back healthy, and face the Denver Nuggets in the first round. AD is back. LeBron should be back shortly. Andre Drummond is still kind of figuring out where he belongs in La La Land. But Denver really isn't much of a contender, and I'm gonna move this over into the Denver talk. Denver really isn't much of a contender with Jamal Murray being injured and out. And Nikola Jokic, I mean, everybody has him slated as being the MVP of the league this year, and he deserves it. He's been playing well. But he damn sure deserves it if he can get the Nuggets out of the first round, and especially if they play the Los Angeles Lakers. I will advise for you to watch Michael Porter Jr. Proved last season as a rookie that the big stage is the place where he likes to be. So the first round of the playoffs, if they play the Lakers or whoever they play, look for Michael Porter Jr. to put on the show and show that it's more than just the Joker, that it's more than just Jamal Murray. But Porter Jr. got something to say. The Utah Jazz. Donovan Mitchell, man, has been out for the past couple weeks with an ankle injury, and it's been stinking up my fantasy basketball lineup. That don't have nothing to do with you. But if we're going to take the Utah Jazz seriously, I feel like they need to have a deep run in the playoffs. They need to have a series win over teams like Dallas, over teams like Memphis or Portland. If they're going to be taken serious and saying they're going to take the mantle from the Lakers, they're better than the Clippers, they're better than Denver. If we're going to take them seriously, they have to have a run in them. They have to have a deep run and put some teams away convincingly who they're supposed to put away. And if you come up against a team like the Clippers or Denver or the Lakers, you got to put them away. So for them, if I'm going to talk, you know, expectations, I have got to say at least the Western Conference Finals is a place where if I'm Utah Jazz, if we don't reach the Western Conference Finals, then the season is probably a disappointment. Next team up is the Los Angeles Clippers. And I'll be honest with you, man. if the Clippers don't do nothing this postseason, y'all can stop talking to me about Paul George. Honestly. Like, Kawhi Leonard gets a pass because he's of the things he's done in the past with Toronto and San Antonio. But PG has got to step up. PG has almost got to carry Kawhi because his hunger to win has to fuel the rest of the team. Yes, everybody's saying he's the number two guy, but he has to be playing and he has to expect the rest of the team to look to him as if he's the number one, because you can tell me all about how good he looks on a Thursday night against Memphis, and he has 38 points and 12 assists and whatever. I don't give a damn. If it don't translate over into the playoffs, then Pandemic P is just a fraud to me. The Dallas Mavericks. Listen, man, for all the hype around Luka Doncic, he's been up and down this season. If you look at his numbers will tell you he's a hell of a player. I think he averages like 28 points a game. But I said it to say, Dallas really, in all honesty, should probably be a higher seed than they actually are. Dallas is damn near on the borderline. I know damn near. They are on the borderline of the play-in tournament. They're right there at like 6. And so if Luka is going to continue to live up to this hype and be this hype guy, this hype machine that everybody put on him last year and talked about how great of a player he was and how much of the future he is, he's going to have to not only win a play-in game if it comes down to that, but they should be looking to try to win at least a first round series. Phoenix, man. The Phoenix Suns is another team that will need to make a second round appearance to me. Like, I know they didn't make the postseason last year, but Chris Paul is such a great leader that he can pull these guys into the playoffs and pull these guys into probably the second round. But the thing comes in is, how long will they have Chris Paul in Phoenix? And so that talks about my urgency for them winning today, winning now. And you have to get to at least the second round now, because you don't know how long CP3 will be around your squad. So what you have to do, you have to get guys like Book and Ayton to get all the knowledge and all the things that Chris Paul has in his brain to transfer over to them, so they'll get that knowledge and they can move the team and advance the team into the future. But looking at them today, I honestly believe that they need to be a team that has their sights on the second round of the playoffs. And Portland is my next team, because Portland is going to be primetime TV for me. Because as of right now, Portland can squeeze, looking in that play-in tournament, if Portland can grab like that 7th seed and they turn around and they play Phoenix, which is number 2. I think I said this earlier. You got CP3 versus Dame. Whew. That's some TV. You got Book. You got DeAndre Ayton. You got Melo. You got McCollum. You got some good-ass basketball going on, man. But I'm going to step away, because I'm not going to do what I said I wasn't going to do. I'm not going to get into the matchups, because especially until they're set, because I could sit here and I could talk matchups with you guys all day long. But if the matchups never happen, then we basically just wasted all of our time and all of our damn energy. And I don't want to do that. I'll just wait till the dust settles and all the seeding is final, and then we can talk about who matches up with who, and we can go into expectations, real expectations, for each individual franchise. I appreciate you. I thank you for tuning in. Every week is much appreciated. Don't think that I don't believe that you have something better to do other than listening to the Commissioner's Conversation. I will appreciate you more if you tune in, if you follow me on Twitter at G Robinson Sports, if you follow me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon, and engage, man. Check me out. We have a YouTube series, The Commissioner Conversation, as well. Check it out. Go to YouTube, type in The Commissioner's Conversation, and there you'll see me talking to someone sports related, and we'll chop it up. I got a lot of interesting guests on deck that I want you to check out coming up before the draft, after the draft, and prior to the NBA playoffs. So keep your eye open. Tune in. YouTube, The Commissioner's Conversation, Instagram, at the.commissioner.gordon, Twitter at G Robinson Sports. Again, I thank you for tuning in. I'd like to thank my engineer and producer, DJ Reese Boogie. I appreciate him. You can tune in and check him out at This Is DJ Reese Boogie on Instagram, at This Is DJ Reese Boogie on Twitch. Check him out. He's got a lot of great things going on. Until next week, I'll holla.
Okay, bye.